Weddings are interesting occasions, aren't they? Full of expectation and promise. A clash of family and friends, normally, a joyous occasion. I have been privileged to witness many, many wedding banquets. My father owned a catering company, and I began working for him when I was 9. I worked for my dad between the ages of 9 and 30. And almost every Saturday night of the year that I can remember, I was at a wedding banquet. For sure, I was not a guest. I was working, setting tables, washing dishes, prepping food, a busboy, a server, a bartender, and eventually a catering manager. I saw a lot of weddings. I witnessed some bizarre events from a variety of different cultures, though nothing stands out like the bride and groom who ended up getting handcuffed together by their skinhead friends, who arrived only to handcuff them and then to leave. Without the key. They didn't leave the key. And I have to confess that in all the weddings I witnessed, I never once heard a story about a groom who was late. No, not once in 20 years do I recall the groom being late. Which, of course, is the premise of our gospel lesson this morning, isn't it? Jesus is talking to the disciples about the kingdom of heaven. And it will be like this, he says. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And to make a long story short, they had to wait. And when the bridegroom arrived, 5 of those women found that they did not have enough oil in their lamps. So keep awake, Jesus tells the disciples, for you know neither the day or the hour. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I ask myself, what does staying awake have to do with having enough oil? So let's take a look back at this text, and we'll start by talking about what this text, what this story is not about. This piece of scripture is not about remaining vigilant or scanning the Bible for evidence of when the kingdom will come. All 10 women fall asleep in this story. All 10 women fall asleep. Even though Jesus does say remain awake at the end, I don't believe his words should be read as vigilance. I believe that we should read this as imagery, metaphor for being alive or dead. Alive, of course, in Christ. And we should also note that just as all 10 women fall asleep, all 10 women also brought a lamp with them. Everyone, all 10 of those women, have a lamp. Which seems to me to be a strange thing to bring to a wedding in the first place. But I suppose in the culture of the time that would have been normal. But they all have one. If we interpret the lamps as representing resources or giftedness, then all 10 of those people bring their own gifts. So our text is not about being good enough. All 10 have gifts. All 10 are invited to the banquet feast, which of course provides grace and shares in all that we will ever need. Everyone is patient. Again, we are not supposed to read this scripture as a clue that we should be guessing about when the kingdom will come. We should not be grasping at straws, trying to interpret events in our world as representative of the end times. Jesus is stressing patience, not exasperated, desperate searching for meaning. and everyone knows the bridegroom. This text is not about separating those who know Jesus and those who do not know Jesus. All 10 of the women know Jesus. So this is not about insiders and outsiders. It's not about those who are saved and those who are not saved. It's not about the elect or the doctrine of election. In our story, everyone knows Jesus. The difference is that the wise young women bring extra oil. That's it. That is what separates this five from this five. Extra oil. Five of the women are described as being wise, and they bring extra oil, and so they are prepared. Which leads us to the most important question that the story asks of us. What does it mean to be prepared for the delay of the bridegroom? What does this oil symbolize? When the five foolish women asked, "Oh, share your oil with us," why do the five wise women say no? Why can't the oil be shared? It seems a little bit selfish of those five women to be unwilling to share their oil. Consider that it is Jesus who is telling the story. Jesus who asked the disciples to share their food to feed 5,000. The same Jesus who healed people and ministered to them. And yet in our story today, Jesus describes five women who won't share with the other five. And it's those five who won't share who get in to the banquet. Jesus who says, the first will be last and the last will be first. And yet it's the women who won't share, who have the extra oil, who would therefore be considered the first, who come out ahead in this story. It seems slightly out of character, doesn't it? Which means we need to ask the question, what exactly is going on here? If the story that Jesus is sharing does not match up with other aspects of his teaching, what is Jesus trying to tell us? But friends, I would suggest to you that the oil in this story is not a physical thing. Yes, those five wise women brought extra flasks of oil. But we should read the story that those flasks of extra oil were their own personal fuel. Not for the lamp, for them. The oil represents our fuel. It is our good work, our love, our compassion, our faithfulness, our trust in God, the Father. And we can share what those things mean, and I would encourage you to do so. But we can't love, trust, and be faithful in God for someone else. We can pray for someone else, but they themselves need to place their own trust in Christ. This scripture passage reminds me of a hymn, and I hope the choir can help me out with this one. The hymn about the oil in the lamps. How's that one go?
Oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the servant King. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, let us sing.
Thank you. I heard two different versions going there. That's okay. The diversity of the body of Christ. oil in our lamps. Theologian Mark Douglas relates the oil in this text to faith, knowledge, and love. He writes that knowledge, faith, and love are tools for living in the time before eternity, not tools to gain entrance to it. While it is wise to fill our lamps with good things, we should remember that those things are for use this side of eternity. There is already more than enough light at the banquet. So why does Jesus tell us to remain awake? Why remain awake? The knowledge of love, the great grace of God through Jesus Christ. To remain awake is to be faithful in our living, to cherish and follow the teaching of Christ, to have faith in the great promise of grace that is found in Jesus Christ, to love deeply, fully, richly, and without compromise, to love God and to love our neighbors. These are the things that we are to be awake to. When the women in the story, when they fall asleep, they allowed their lamps to burn up the oil that was in them. And some of those women had no reserves. And when it became difficult, they despaired because they wanted to go to that feast. But we need to wait for it to start, don't we? And we must sustain ourselves during this period of waiting. So we must remain awake and aware to always keep the knowledge of Christ, the love of Christ, and Christ's great faith in us before us. And we must reflect those same values back into the world. Theologian N.T. Wright puts it this way: and in this new era, no less than in the unique time of Jesus and his first followers, we need as much as ever the warning that it's easy to go slack on the job, to stop paying attention to God's work and its demands, to be unprepared when the moment suddenly arrives. And friends, the moment may well be when the bridegroom arrives. And those 10 women, they didn't fall asleep. They weren't ready. At least not all of them were. That moment we need to be ready for, that we need to be aware of, that Jesus speaks to, it is as much his coming again as it is the immediate issues that are before us that we must remain awake and aware to and vigilant of. Because issues will arise before us and we will be called, we are called to respond. We run a soup kitchen here every Thursday as part of the NeighborLink initiative. It helps people. Hungry people, perhaps even desperate people. I don't know if you were reading the same papers and news outlets as I was this week, but did you know that in many cities in the United States, it's illegal to feed homeless people? A soup kitchen's okay, but don't buy an extra sandwich at the deli and hand it out to a homeless person. 60 days in jail might wait you if you do that. Don't show up in the park with 20 pre-prepared meals to hand out. You could end up in jail. And friends, that's wrong. And that goes against everything that Jesus teaches us. It's contrary to the kingdom. And we have to remain awake to this and other issues of justice that Jesus speaks about. We can't say we love God, that we follow Jesus, and then ignore the teachings of Jesus. We can't ignore what God loves. It's just not the way it works. we don't keep actively doing the work of the kingdom, then we will find ourselves like the five foolish women who do not have enough oil. Our lights will have gone out. And we can't let that happen. And it's hard sometimes. It can be a struggle to keep the fire burning, to keep that torch lit. We are pulled in so many directions. We desire to be faithful, to live out what God through Jesus Christ has asked of us. And we pray that the Spirit strengthen and enrich us, but it can be so difficult. I think we all feel that frustration at times. And I know at times I look for ways that I can articulate that frustration. And this week, as I was preparing my sermon, as I often do, I'm listening to music, and I was listening to the band U2. And in their song For Someone, I heard the following. If there is a light you can't always see, and there is a world we can't always be, if there is a dark within and without, and there is a light, don't let it go out. I heard those words as I was working on this sermon, and those words to me, they capture the struggle that we have in seeing the light of Christ in the world. The difficulty we face in being the kingdom. The recognition that without, even within our very beings, we struggle to be faithful to God. But the recognition persists that there is a light. There is a light. And friends, do not let that light go out. Keep that fire burning. Ask God continually to refresh and renew you so that we can keep going to the break of day. Amen.